Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled Dispelling the Myths of Ghosts, Trapped Souls, Demons, and Shadow Men. Here is Gabriel of Urantia.
Ghosts and trapped souls. I don't know about you guys, but I personally could not live in a universe that was unsafe or believe in an inefficient God who would allow or purposely design in his omnipotent will that a soul, once leaving this world, could be trapped on any planet after death. This kind of antiquated thinking is hundreds of thousands of years old, primitive. It's superstition and began with early man. Little example of early man. And the belief of ghosts and demons. It is primitive thinking, and it is actually atheistic thinking. The Urantia book, which is also called the Fifth Epical Revelation to Humankind, teaches from a being called a brilliant evening star of Nebadon on page 958. The ghost cult evolved as an offset to the hazards of bad luck. Its primitive religious observances were the outgrowth of anxiety about bad luck and of the inordinate fear of death. None of these early religions had much to do with the recognition of deity or with reverence for the superhuman. Their rites were mostly negative, designed to avoid, expel, or coerce ghosts. The ghost cult was nothing more nor less than insurance against disaster. It had nothing to do with investment for higher and future returns. Man has had a long and bitter struggle with the ghost cult. Nothing in human history is designed to excite more pity than this picture of man's abject slavery to ghost spirit fear. With the birth of this very fear, mankind started on the upgrade of religious evolution. Human imagination cast off from the shores of self and will not again find anchor until it arrives at the concept of a true deity, a real God, a safe God. There are people today who actually go ghost hunting. The movie, thus Ghostbusters. And there are mediums who claim to contact the dead. Well, that's high stuff. Others claim to be experts in releasing trapped spirits to go on from the earth to wherever they're to go next. Midwares. Loyal and fallen, and channeling. The truth of this matter is that these channelers are being fooled by fallen midwares. Midwares are beings halfway between humans and angels. Like angels, they cannot be seen unless they want to be seen. The Urantia book states on page 683, the majority of the primary midwares, there's primary and secondary midwares, the majority of the primary midwares went into sin at the time of the Lucifer Rebellion. When the devastation of the planetary rebellion was reckoned up, among other losses, it was discovered that of the original 119 had joined the Caligastia secession. The original number of secondary midwives was 1,984, and of these, 873 failed to align themselves with the rule of Michael and were duly interned in connection with the planetary adjudication of Urantia on the day of Pentecost. No one can forecast the future of these fallen creatures. Hence then, these 1,111 loyal midwives that were left, secondary midwives, they remained loyal to the administration of Jesus Christ Michael, and they never fell to rebellion and are still a part of the spiritual over-control of this planet, Urantia Earth. These loyal midwives have more power to materialize from time to time and to protect humankind if necessary. And often many lives are spared, destiny reservists for sure, from accidents happening to them because of the 1,111 loyal midwives. The number 1111, because of the 1111 midwives, work on Urantia behind the scenes, has many meanings, 1111, in metaphysical and New Age teachings. But it's not the purpose of this teaching to get into all of that. The primary reason and power is that there's 1,111 loyal secondary midwives to the administration of Jesus Christ Michael. The highest message of the 1111 number, every time you see it on a clock, on your, wherever you see it, many of us see it. The highest message, and why you're seeing it, is to remind you by a message from the midwives of the return to this planet of Jesus Christ Michael. The Urantia book states on page 865, the 1,111 loyal secondary midwives are engaged in important missions on Earth. As compared with their primary associates, they are decidedly material. They exist just outside the range of mortal vision and possess sufficient latitude of adaption to make at will physical contact with what humans call material things. These unique creatures have certain definite powers over the things of time and space, not excepting the beast of the realm. The Urantia book teaches that the fallen midwives have been on this planet for 200,000 years, ever since the Lucifer Rebellion and the fall on this planet of the planetary prince, Caligastia, who many call the devil, who was himself a being called a secondary Lenondadec son, also known by many names, the devil, Satan, Lucifer. But Satan and Lucifer and Caligastia actually are all different beings. They're all different beings. And there's even another dude. His name's Deligastia. The Urantia book states on page 863, these disloyal midwives, disloyal ones, were able to reveal themselves to mortal eyes under certain circumstances, and especially was this true of the associates of Beelzebub, the leader of the apostate secondary midwives. The leader of the apostate secondary midwives. But these unique creatures must not be confused with certain of the rebel cherubim and seraphim, who also were on earth up to the time of Christ's death and resurrection. Some of the older writers designated these rebellious midway creatures as evil spirits, demons, and the apostate seraphim as evil angels, getting back to superstitious thinking and ghost cult thinking. The fallen planetary prince, Caligastia, speaks to humanity, however, through channels who are not channels of God, who are not channels of the light. He is still speaking. In my opinion, one of the vessels Caligastia uses the most is a human vessel by the name of J.C. Knight. And through this vessel, Caligastia calls himself Ramtha. Caligastia uses others to speak his will also, and brings forth always some truth with tremendous and awful lies and diversions of spiritual concepts, but always includes just enough truth that makes it interesting and valid. The Urantia book says, on page 1646, Jesus plainly taught his apostles that the stray and rebellious midwayers who had oftentimes impersonated the supposed spirits of the dead would soon be brought under control so that they could no more do these strange things. He taught his followers that after he returned to the Father, and after they had poured out their spirit upon all flesh, no more could such semi-spirit beings, so-called unclean spirits, possess the feeble and evil-minded among mortals. Here he's talking about actual possession. Jesus further explained to his apostles that the spirits of departed human beings do not come back to the world as their origin to communicate with other living fellows, with their living fellows. They do not come back. Only after the passing of a dispensational age would it be possible for the advancing spirit of mortal man to return to earth, and then only in exceptional causes as a part of the spiritual administration of the planet. So often what happens with channels of Caligastia is that although they are not possessed completely, because that stopped at the time of Jesus' resurrection, people do invite the fallen midwayers in to spout their lies and deceptions. At other times, the channeling is actually not fallen entities at all, but the lower self of the fallen human souls. Even though their voices sound different, it is actually a distortion of their human voices, a voice that they once had in another lifetime, themselves fallen fourth order starseed, the channels. This is true particularly of the fallen fourth order starseed, these who become channels, because they have hundreds, perhaps even thousands, or more years of astral dial experience on earth in the Lucifer Rebellion, and are much more sophisticated in their human philosophical deceptions and astral or pre-incarnated voices. Pre-incarnated voices. These fallen starseed souls have actually lived on other planets before coming to Earth, giving them more manipulative experience, giving them more manipulated astral experience. Demon possession. There was much, much superstition in the area of demon possession, and many claim to be exorcists of evil spirits or demons who inhabit human beings. I've been there. I was a fundamentalist Christian minister. I've been to those exorcist things. I see them on the ground, standing up, you name it. I've seen it. It's all the minded mischief. It's all acting. People want to believe they're demon-possessed because if you just get touched and they come out, it's easy then. You don't have nothing to do. You don't have to work towards perfection. It's the demon in you. Devil made me do it. The truth of the matter is written in the Urantia book on pages 863. Even prior to Pentecost, no rebel spirit could dominate a mortal human mind. And since that day, even the weak minds of inferior mortals are free from such possibilities. The supposed casting out of devils since the arrival of the Spirit of Truth has been a matter of confounding a belief in demonical possession with hysteria, insanity, and feeble-mindedness. But just because Michael's bestowal has forever liberated all human minds on Urantia from the possibility of demonical possession, do not imagine that such was not a reality in former ages. The entire group of rebel midwares is at present held prisoner by order of the Most Highs of Audentia. This is written in 1911 to 1934. No more do they roam this world on mischief bent. Regardless of the presence of the thought adjusters, the pouring out of the Spirit of Truth upon all flesh forever made it impossible for disloyal spirits of any sort or description ever again to invade even the most feeble of human minds. Since the day of Pentecost, there never again can be such a thing as demonical possession. Yes, that's true. The confusion, however, among even Urantia book readers is this one verse. The entire group of reverend midwares is at present held prisoner by order of the Most Highs of Audentia. Here it's coming. No more do they roam this world on mischief bent. So you take that all in context because of this verse. Some Urantia book readers, when you take it out of context, I should say, many Urantia book readers believe that the adjudication was over at Pentecost and that there's no more evil on Urantia. I don't know where they're living or what they're looking at. It's beyond me. But they sure got their rose-colored glasses on. But the Urantia books itself says that it is an incomplete revelation, that it is actually only one-tenth of the fifth epoch of Revelation. Only one-tenth. On page 1008, the Urantia papers, the papers of which this is one, constitute the most recent presentation of truth to the mortals of Urantia. These papers differ from all previous revelations, for they are not the work of a single universe personality, but a composite presentation by many beings. But no revelation, short of the attainment of the Universal Father, can ever be complete. All other celestial ministrations are no more than partial, transient, and practically adapted to local conditions in time and space. While such admissions as this may possibly detract from the immediate force and authority of all revelations, the time has arrived on Urantia when it is advisable to make such frank statements, even at the risk of weakening the future influence and authority of this, the most recent of the revelations of truth to the mortals of Urantia. What's it saying? A lot of people don't want to read the Urantia book because it's not like Conversations with God. You know, it's not easy read. It's not like kindergarten spirituality. It's like study. It's like discipline yourself. It's like apply yourself. Study. People don't like to study. People want it to come easy. Instant breakfast, instant reading the Urantia book. It's not instant studying the Urantia book. It's a combination of right motive, mind, and heart. And continuing Fifth Epic of Revelation, it makes it clear, very clear, that not only are the fallen midwayers of Urantia still on Urantia, but since the upstepping of the adjudication of the bright morning star in 1989, other fallen midwayers and other fallen entities from the other fallen 36 planets are sent here to be given an opportunity to repent. The Cosmic Family, Volume 1, Paper A, page 15 says, Telegastia is still existent on the planet today with millions of fallen entities, and all are very active in trying to deceive the very elect of God. For every truth, there is an opposite deception. In every area of policy making, in every level of divine mandate, at system level and downward, there is an opposite rebellious mandate that seems like the divine one. But in reality, if you look deep into it, it is opposed to the perfect will of God. In Paper C of the Cosmic Family, Volume 1, on page 22, it says, Lucifer was imprisoned on a satellite world near the system capital of Jerusalem at the time of the completion of the sojourn of Michael, Jesus the Christ, on Mount Hermon. Satan, his advocate of iniquity in our system, was imprisoned approximately at the time of the beginning of the fifth epoch of revelation to this planet in the early 1930s. Telegastia, however, and tens of thousands of other fallen entities are still active on this planet, keeping the people of Urantia in deception and away from cosmic truths. The Shadow Men. The Shadow Men have been somewhat seen by some behind the dimensional scenes since 1989. This was the upstepping then of the adjudication of the bright and morning star versus Lucifer. We have some pamphlets out about what happened since the upstepping of the adjudication that actually began in 1911 and upstepped in 1989. The fall of the Berlin Wall, the fall of communism, so many other things. The Shadow Men are not fallen entities. The name Shadow Men is really inappropriate for them, although they are seen in the shadows. They are actually student visitors from other planets in our local system of Satania. They come here for learning experiences. Some allow themselves, by mistake, to get too close to our dimension, because they're not supposed to be seen. But they get too curious, and when they get too close to us, and when they do, there's some kind of something happens, electromagnetic, I don't have the words right now. Something happens, and you can see their shadows. They pass too close to us. The Ratchet book states on page 339, student visitors. From all the universe, a constant stream of celestial visitors pours through the various headquarter worlds. As individuals and as classes, these various types of beings flock in upon us as observers, exchange pupils, and student helpers. On Yversa at present, there are over 1 billion persons in this courtesy colony. Some of these visitors may tarry a day, others may remain a year, all dependent on the nature of their mission. This colony contains almost every class of universe beings except creator personalities and Urantia mortals. the orderly ascension process and life after death. Forget about trapped souls. No such thing. When these souls die, they are met immediately by a Marachan companion and others of our loved ones that have gone on before. There's an orderly and highly administrative coordination of deceased souls after death. Could it be other if God is a God of order? Could it be otherwise? No, it cannot be. Even bad human beings that die are not trapped anywhere. God puts them exactly where he wants them, and they're not left behind there on earth. They're in a sleep state. They go directly to a sleep state. When they wake up, they're going to be adjudicated by the Ancient of Days, judged. Certain angelic personalities who are companions and even thought adjusters are designated to literally secure the soul. Secure the soul. And direct it to its next location, retaining the soul's memory of eternal value and the soul's personality traits. Nothing's lost. Nothing's trapped. Many souls simply remain in a sleep state until the next dispensation or resurrection again and the judgment of the Ancient of Days. There are too many variables because Urantia is an experimental planet and there are various orders of starseed souls of other universes here. That's you, some of you. Fallen and unfallen. First order, second order, third order, fourth order. Fallen and unfallen. Here on Urantia. But here is a paragraph that covers the two basic classifications of souls. Two basic classifications. Page 1247. The technique of justice demands. I like technique of justice. Doesn't sound like trapped souls, does it? The technique of justice demands that personal or group guardians shall respond to the dispensation or roll call in behalf of all non-surviving personalities. The adjusters, that's inside of us, of such non-survivors, do not return. And when the rolls are called, the seraphim respond, but the adjusters make no answer. This constitutes the resurrection of the unjust. In reality, the former recognition of the cessation of creature existence. This roll call of justice always immediately follows the roll call of mercy, the resurrection of the sleeping survivors. But these are matters which are of concern to none but the supreme and all-knowing judges of survival value. Such problems of adjudication do not really concern us. The point that I am trying to make, again, is that there's a very, very orderly program that captures and secures the soul after death. There are no trapped souls on this planet. There are no ghosts. There are all the fallen midwares that fool the heck out of you. They know who your mother was. They know who your father was. They know everything about you. They can pretend to be anybody. And that's what they do. They know all about you. We need to have safety in God, in our hearts, in our minds. We need to be safe in God's safe universe. So in closing, as long as you are seeking a relationship with God, no fallen entity can possess you. And no matter how iniquitous you are, they still cannot possess you. Since the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Michael, 2,000 years ago. That's why so many like to deny his resurrection. That gives them more evil power, superstitious evil power. But if you continue in your evil and sinful or iniquitous ways, fallen midwares and other fallen entities certainly can lead you into the paths of much confusion and unhappiness, incompleteness, and non-actualization. They don't want you to find God and to meet your destiny, whatever that destiny is. And it might be destinies within destinies. For 5 years, God may want you to do this. For the next 10 years, God may want you to do this. For the next 25 years, God may want you to do this, this, and that. Destinies within destinies. They do not want you to meet your perfect destinies. And they will do everything to confound you. Why? Because they are fallen beings and themselves do not want to repent. Thus we have the fallen earth, Urantia, and every ugly thing that happens on this world, because too many people are outside of the perfect will of God. They do this by many methods, mostly by giving you false inspiration. There's true inspiration from God in over control and the celestial family, but there's false inspiration. There's false truths. And they actually can get close enough to you to whisper in your ear. You hear their voice, not the voice of your guardian angel, if you allow them entrance. By doing so many things you shouldn't be doing, they can get to you. They can give you false automatic writing. You think you've got this gift. It's not God's gift at all. Who's writing through you? Who's whispering in your ear while you're writing on the paper? A fallen midwayer. You, in turn, write these lies down in books and present them in various teaching methods, in films, and other forms of media, confusing thousands and millions of people. The motive of your heart and your relationship with God will lead you to all truth. The motive of your heart. And no fallen entity can ever get within hearing distance from you. They cannot get near your ear to whisper anything in your ear. They do not have any power when you create God power around you by your purity, by your goodness, by your virtues. They can't get near you. Because you've built a protective shield. A shield of light that inhibits them from entrance into your aura field. That's safety. Your virtue, your goodness, your kindness, your seeking God, your wanting the best for others to help them to meet their destinies, that's what will build your shield. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase. An ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.